Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of M'Zite Shyamalan, director of The Sixth Trends, which I think we've used as a short show title before. We do tend to talk about Sixth Trends and The Sixth Trends, perhaps the high point of his career. I've been having that conversation lately about like various filmmakers and whether their like second movie was the best. It seems like that's the case with a lot of my favorite directors anyways. But I digress. I am thrilled to be joined today to talk through the trends by super producer Trisha Mukherjee. Trisha, what's up?
Hi, Jack. What's up? How's it going?
Oh, you know, how was your fourth? We have another update in the Great Escape is what I'm coming to think of it of. Like your phone's attempt to escape from you.
Yes.
It
just continues. It goes on and on. I was at a family gathering for 4th of July and a child took my phone to his house by accident. And so it just ended up miles and miles away from me, constantly on the run. First, it was the elevator.
Yeah, crack. We talked on the last Trends episode that you dropped your phone and it managed to go like perfectly through that tiny little gap between the elevator and the floor that you're getting off of. I'm impressed. I'm impressed by your phone's willingness to do anything.
Me too.
Escaping through a small hole we've all seen in like prison escape movies, hitching a ride with somebody who is unaware, like in a laundry van or something like that, is also always smart. So we'll see. I mean, I have a feeling if you turn your back for very long, there's going to be a hole tunneled through like your apartment floor into
under the Hudson all the way to New Jersey and beyond.
It'll be
in another continent by no time. Yeah.
Super producer Brian suggests some tiny little sheets tied together out the window. Maybe some Kleenexes tied together out the window just because it's smaller. But I am also saying, like, it's either your phone is trying to escape or, like, some forces of the universe are like, she really shouldn't have this phone. It's not the right time that we're about to open up the portal with a Large Hadron Collider. And we need Trisha to not be looking at this exact phone.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I believe
Someone's
in the multiverse. I'm a little, the That they're afraid of what you with that phone too right. powerful. They're exactly. like, we need her to bust it back down to a cricket or something like
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a suspicion it's the FBI, but oh. I might not want to say that too loud.
Yeah. That could be. Also yeah. could be. Yeah. They are constantly calling me and being like, so what's up with Trisha? How's she working out?
You haven't told them anything, have you?
Jack? As of yet, no. But okay, you know. All right. Truly a horrifying weekend with a mass shooting in Highland Park. 7 people were killed, at least 47 others were injured. It was a young white guy shooting from a rooftop at what seemed to be random people at a distance. Like, just, you know, psychologically, the most horrifying, just, you know, it's like suddenly out of nowhere, like, you're shot and there's nothing you can do about it. And mm-hmm. we don't know anything about the, you know, political views of this particular young white man mass shooter, but it does feel like it's like what terrorists would do, but it's just like ambient terrorism on behalf of a broken system at this point.
Well, I think also it recently came out that he went to a Trump rally before the shooting happened. I don't know how long ago it was, but
yeah. And he was like yeah. an edgelord, so like people were I don't know, like I don't, it does, like, to me at this point it like truly doesn't matter. It's just I'm sure there will be a mass shooter whose politics are, you know, leftist, and you know right. there we had that person who was struggling with mental illness who mm-hmm. showed up at Brett Kavanaugh's house and mm-hmm. told the police they were armed and thinking about hurting Brett Kavanaugh. And
right.
that's the issue. The common denominator is like just access to deadly guns. Like that right. seems to be the thing. So right. I don't know. We got a tweet from Jason Osborne.
Yeah. This guy is a New Hampshire state representative. And he tweeted something just so absurd and in bad taste. He said, instead of spending $20 more than last year on your Independence Day hot dogs, lay off the calories and grab a few more rounds for your AK-47.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's just, as I said, like in such bad taste. I mean, it's not a joke. And it's insane that like elected representatives are tweeting things like this. And yeah, I think what happened in Highland Park wasn't unique at all this 4th of July. There were shootings in several other cities. And even when I went to the fireworks in New York, I just couldn't stop thinking, like, yeah. I am in such a bad situation, as is everyone around me, if someone were just to decide to take out a gun. And it's such a tragic thing that we're like watching these fireworks and stuff, and they're supposed to symbolize all these grand ideas of freedom and independence. And, you know, all of that was fucked up in the first place when it was created. But just that juxtaposed with just how terrified everyone was, just on alert for any kind of sound, which is so hard to recognize among fireworks, barriers falling, just things that shouldn't be scary, but just are.
Scary. There was. Like chaos. There were people. First of all, there was a shooting at a July 4th fireworks show in Philadelphia, mm-hmm. Where 2 cops were wounded. But there were also like Orlando. There was a stampede caused by crowd mistaking fireworks for gunfire. I don't know. It's like I broke down yesterday just thinking about, I don't know, like that. I think it was cumulative, like Uvalde and mm-hmm. then this story. And like, I knew that I was going to a fireworks display that night with my kids. And like, I'm right. having like intrusive thoughts of like my kids getting shot and right. that like are hard to ignore when you live in this version of America. And I'm sure a lot of people are dealing with that. And, you know, it's hard. Like I said, yeah. I think we can acknowledge it's fucking hard no matter who you are.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think the other thing I was thinking about is that there were so many cops everywhere during these parades, and clearly in so many cities they failed to stop these killings. Yeah. So I think, yeah, we just, you know, you can say it time and time again and nothing really happens, but it seems like the only real solution is to get rid of these assault weapons and get rid of cops that, as we'll talk about later, also hurt people.
Yeah. I mean, we might as well talk about it now. Like, just, you know, it's more stories that feel like we don't get better. Video of Akron police shooting Jalen Walker to death 60 times while he was unarmed was released at the end of last week. The police had tried to pull him over for an unspecified equipment violation. This is another one of those things where the police are initiating something that ends in deadly conflict over something where the stakes aren't even big enough for them to even mention it in their reporting of what happened. He drove away from the police. The police claimed that he fired a shot at them or like what during the pursuit. And that they found a gun in his hand. But the important detail is that he was unarmed and running away when they shot him 60 times. And, you know, the use of deadly force by police has not dropped at all since the George Floyd protests. Police funding has not been cut. In many places, it's been raised. In some places, it was cut a little bit. But then we saw the main thing that has happened since the Black Lives Matter protests and the police violence protests of 2020 is that the police had a temper tantrum about being challenged. And the mainstream media kind of coordinated with them to try to generate a panic attack about crimes committed by poor people. Like, you know, the committed by the sorts of people who are often the victims of police violence.
Right. It's just, again, it just really feels like nothing has changed at all, despite all the protests, despite every, you know, individual person who's trying to be themselves a force for change. The inaction of the government, the inaction in terms of defunding police departments, in terms of doing anything about it. I think that's really what has, like, led to this incident and surely many more like it in the future. Because like individual people are doing all they can in a lot of cases, at least people who, you know, care about this issue and want to do something, but it's not us anymore. Like, it's just out of our hands and we just have to be scared and deal with the brunt of like all this fear and just tragedy again and again and again, because a few people are refusing to act and to do anything.
Yeah. One thing that people can do is donate to Akron bail funds, because people protested the police and the shooting over the weekend, and 50 people were arrested by the Akron police last night. So if you can donate money to the Akron bail funds, that would be helpful. And yeah, let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
What up? I am Dramos, host of the Life as a Gringo podcast. Now, this is a show for the No Sabo kids, the 200%ers. Here we celebrate your otherness and embrace living in the gray area. If you ever felt like you were always too much this while also never being enough that, this is the podcast for you. Every Tuesday, I'll be bringing you conversations around personal growth, issues affecting the Latin community, and much more via my own personal stories, along with interviews with inspiring thought leaders from our community. Then, every Thursday, I'll be tackling trending stories and current events from our community that you need to know. So much of what makes our community so beautiful is our diversity, yet too often, those of us who don't fit into this dumb, stereotypical box of whatever it means to be Latino are left without a voice or just forgotten about. On this show, I celebrate the uniqueness of our culture and invite you to walk in your authenticity. Listen to Life as a Gringo as a part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What does optimism look like? I'm on a quest to find the people who inspire us to dream more and do more. I'm Simon Sinek, and I host a podcast called A Bit of Optimism. I talk to all sorts of people, from the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to a hairdresser on Instagram who gives out free haircuts to the homeless, from the CEOs of the world's largest companies to the comedy writer who visited the wreckage of the Titanic. I love talking to leaders, artists, authors, and eccentrics about life, leadership, purpose, mental fitness, human skills, high performance, and other curious things. It leaves me feeling wiser, more inspired, and, well, more optimistic. Because after all, this is a bit of optimism. The world is full of magic and wonder, if you know where to look for it. Listen to A Bit of Optimism on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back, and no surprise here, I am a bit of a box office whisperer when it comes to children's cartoons, it seems like. Many people are saying, I knew that Lightyear didn't make sense, was going to be a bust, and I had a good feeling about this Minions Rise of Gru thing, and it broke the box office record over the weekend for a July movie, and it also launched a trend on TikTok called Gentle Minions, which you
you're saying it with such a like disapproving look on
this is the only way I know how to say that. I am fine with this trend, actually. I think it's fun. When you first described it to me, I thought it was people dressing up as Minions to go see the Minions movie, but no, I got that wrong, right?
Yeah. So it's actually people dressing up, people meaning kids, like teenagers, dressing up in suits to go and see this movie. And I think the aim of it is that they want to dress up like Gru. But they have begun throwing bananas in the movie theater.
Not cool.
Not cool at all.
Not cool, leading, you dang kids.
Yeah, leading to many movie theaters banning people dressed in formal attire. So some cinemas have said that they've suffered a massive financial impact, having to issue refunds to other people who are just trying to enjoy Minions Rise of Gru in peace while these kids in suits are throwing bananas. So really makes me question what has come of the world.
I mean, it makes me question what's come of these movie theaters when I can't even go see Minions while wearing my finest, my Sunday duds with my top hat and gloves and parasol. You know,
like I'm sure there will be some like paparazzi photos of you that surface soon in a suit with a fist full of bananas ready to throw.
Yeah. People often think that I'm cosplaying Bram Stoker's Dracula. That is just how I dress.
It just makes me think of all these trends from TikTok that when they translate to real life, they're like bad. Like, I don't know if you remember the ice cream licking trend.
I don't think I remember that, no.
Okay, basically it was this thing where people would like open the seals of ice cream. Or no, maybe they weren't sealed, but they would just open the lids of ice cream in a grocery store and lick it and then put it back in the freezer.
I don't like that.
Yeah. And due to that, like a lot of companies started adding seals to more things. But it's just like, why? Like, keep the trends in TikTok not translating to the real world.
I mean, it definitely seems like a thing kids have probably been doing for years, but just distributing that on a social media network. I don't know. It does kind of feel inevitable if we're going to have social media that stuff like that is gonna spread. I just merely ask these gentle minions to think about those of us who like to look classy when we go see Minions movies. Expose Smithfield's Death Star is trending. This is just the most, maybe this was like the most American 4th of July of all time because there was a mass shooting. And there was also this story where Joey Chestnut, competitive hot dog eater, tackled and put in a chokehold a protester who was holding a sign that said, "Expose Smithfield's Death Star." And I guess that was protesting the treatment of pigs in the United States' largest pig farm factory. But I feel like the tone that I've seen this news shared with is more along the lines of, hell yeah, Joey Chestnut's the man, dog. Fuck protesters. This is fucking rad. Because he did put this person in a headlock while cruising to another world hot dog eating championship.
Wait, what? Was he eating hot dogs as
he was eating? Yeah, and he claims that the reason that you're like, oh no, man, that's too
that just
cool.
Made it even worse.
He has the reason he put this person in the headlock was because he had hot dogs in both of his hands. So it was just like a work of propaganda come to life in this moment where he just, while holding hot dogs that he was using to win as world's best hot dog eater, put somebody in a headlock for like protesting animal rights.
Well,
so
Joey Chestnut, I would say I honestly don't even know what I'm
get ready to be read, Joey Chestnut. I don't know if you heard the tone in Trish's voice there, but you are about to get demolished. Go for it.
No, I was just gonna say, Joey Chestnut, do better things with your life, perhaps. Maybe that. I know. I think he's going to hear this message and change for good, Jack.
Scathing.
Yeah. 76 hot dogs in 10 minutes.
Yeah. He's eaten like a whole pig's worth of pig assholes in that time. Just if you stacked all the hot dogs together. I'm guessing that's what that would put you at 76. I don't know. Anyways, and then finally, Deborah Messing is trending. This is a CNN article that about the Biden administration had some of their big influencers on a phone call. And apparently Deborah Messing was one of them. The former Will and Grace star was, according to CNN, among dozens of celebrity Democratic supporters and activists who joined a call with the White House last Monday to discuss the Supreme Court overturning Roe v. Wade. And the White House aides were like, hey, so just so you know, we have a new like trove of clips that you can be sharing about like all the reasons Biden is killing it. First of all, wild that that's where they're at, that they're like, we just need more celebrities tweeting out our memes. And also that they still think that like this is how elections work. After the 2016 election, where the entire celebrity world joined as one to be like, fuck Donald Trump, Hillary right. Clinton is the best. And right. that just made, I think, most Americans dislike celebrities more right. so than vote for Hillary Clinton. But anyways, Deborah Messing, for one, was pissed to be there. Mm-hmm. She said she'd gotten Joe Biden elected and wanted to know why she was being asked to do anything at all, yelling that there didn't even seem a point to voting. Others wondered why the call was happening. And, you know, the White House took this under consideration. And that afternoon, participants received a follow-up email with a list of basic talking points and suggestions of Biden's speech clips to share on TikTok. The call was 3 days after the decision eliminating federal abortion rights. And CNN is like, this encapsulates how Democrats feel about Biden. I think it encapsulates just the entire Democratic Party in many ways at this moment.
Yeah, it's just like they they think that instead of, you know, doing anything, they can just get celebrities to come and like look happy. Clearly, Deborah Messing yeah. wasn't putting up with it, but I'm sure other people have. But as if that's like a substitute.
Yeah, I mean BTS, like yeah, have BTS come through and just talk right. about how Joe Biden is doing like very nuanced policy takes that, you know, fine slice it enough where it seems like Biden is doing everything he can for Americans. I feel right. like that is the move. And maybe Joey Chestnut. Get Joey Chestnut to put some Trump supporters in a headlock.
Right. Well, I feel like if Joey Chestnut supported a politician, I would be right behind it. He's just right. my political icon.
That is what I was expecting when you said, well, Joey Chestnut. And I was like, I was expecting you to be like, tell me who to vote for because right. you are my right. king. political views. Sorry, I did have to Google Joey Chestnut political views. Rips yeah. Donald Trump's hot dog eating style. Okay, so he has criticized Donald Trump's hot dog eating style.
And so, that is the real reason I dislike yeah. Donald Trump.
That is the main thing.
Right.
All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday afternoon. We are back tomorrow with a whole last episode of the show. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Get the vaccine. Don't do nothing about white supremacy. And we will talk to you all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Are coming back to Atlanta right now. Whoa. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie.
Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.